Thinking a wedding planner isn't in your budget? Think again. Did you know that beyond this podcast, I offer virtual wedding planning coaching? This is something perfect for your needs and your budget. It's not a stale digital course. It's dynamic, it's live, and it's all about empowering you. Together, we'll keep your wedding planning vibe light, fun, and totally dialed in. I'll be your go-to wedding planner right in your pocket, real-time access, just a phone tap or Zoom away. You'll get all my tools. I will personalize them for you, and you're not going to have the hefty price tag of a traditional wedding planner. So save your cash, ditch the stress, and make your wedding planning a journey to remember. For more info, you can slide into my DMs on Instagram. You can go to the bigweddingplanningpodcast.com or just shoot me an email. I'm here for you. Let's make your wedding epic. Lovey, lovey show.
Okay, Michelle, I have exciting news. We have received our first critical tweet.
A complainy thing?
Yes, like someone had something to say on Twitter. And you know how excited I am when we get any tweets whatsoever. So I was so stoked when the little chime came on and somebody in the
Twitter
sphere.
You have the chime? Oh my God.
Had tweeted. And then I looked and was like, oh my gosh, it's he is complaining about something, which actually makes it even better because.
What is he complaining about?
Okay, here's the tweet. He tweets to us, I've been listening to the podcast a bit, but y'all are killing me with the off-topic conversation. Can you start the show with what timestamp the actual wedding planning stuff starts at?
Hey!
And I was like, what? Like, as soon as I read it, because I'm just so stoked that anybody listens, of course, but then also, like, has an opinion. It's like a comment box.
Yes.
You know, at a restaurant, like, comments here.
Leave your comments.
Nobody reads those comments.
What can we improve upon?
Yeah, I'm totally reading the comments, y'all. So then I texted, I responded a couple times, like, on my phone, and then would erase them because I didn't think they were, like, good enough. Because I wanted to say something back to him that was like, woo, you're listening. Also, here's how we feel about this. So what I ended up saying was, we're real life friends, and we can't contain our banter. And then I did a kissy face. It's what makes us different than a boring old wedding blog, right? We rarely go off topic for more than 13 minutes at the beginning, so feel free to FF. Hashtag plan that wedding. And he responded super quick, it's hard to guess how far to go, and I usually listen while driving, so I don't want to be all up in my phone. Thanks for the response. And I get that, right? Like, we listen to podcasts sometimes.
Totally.
I totally FF through, like, 20 minutes of mumbo jumbo on some of my podcasts.
Yeah. So there's a lot of podcasts that are so successful and popular, and they have, like, hundreds of thousands of listeners. They're on huge networks. And I swear to God, I'm like, why are these bitches talking so much? It's been 28 minutes of blah, 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 blah. I get it, you guys. But we listen. We don't do it that long, and we are literally catching up and talking, and we don't want to just be a boring freaking wedding blog. How to do this, how to do that. So look.
Because that information is everywhere.
We like to talk. I think most people like to listen to it. Maybe not.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we think most people are into it.
But you know what? I am very, very happy that we got feedback. And it doesn't always have to be positive. And I appreciate that, dude. I get it, dude. I fast forward too.
And you should check out our show notes on the website after, you know, not when you're driving. If it's an episode that is like full of actual, you know, we're really like breaking down some topic, it's all on our show notes. But anyways, so then I said, tell you what, to this guy, if you have a specific question for us, we'll answer it first thing the next time we record. Special Twitter follower promotion just for you.
Just for Twitter guy.
Okay, so that's what we're doing.
So that's what we're doing. He
wrote back and he has a question, and it is, if a videographer is out of budget or pushing it, what are some creative ways to get video of our wedding?
I hate this question.
Wow. So,
I'm sorry, I do. And not because he gave us negative feedback, but because I know what everybody's thinking right now. Just have a friend record, right? Mm-hmm. Just have a friend, get a video camera and record. Anybody can do it. right? We do it on our phones all the time.
So the reason you hate it is because it's like negating what a professional videographer can do and what they're worth.
Yeah. What else are you going to do? You can hire a kid from a school, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, a film school.
Yep. Academy of Arts, like something like that. And then, you know,
you pay them a couple hundred dollars. It's a tricky question for us because we know we work with clients all the time that videography is one of those vendors that gets pushed to the bottom. They're like, if we have enough money at the end of all this, then we'll get a videographer. We'd like it, but it's a luxury. And the truth is, I wish I had had a videographer at my own wedding. It was one of those things that we just couldn't afford. And I wish I had, honestly, I wish I had just put the $1,500 on a credit card and called it a day. And then I'd have this video of our day. But we totally understand that there are vendors for a wedding that you must have.
Yeah.
And there are vendors that you would have if you had a lot of money and it's nice.
It's not in the top five priority. Totally get it. Totally get it. Because I did that too. So there's a couple of things.
Yeah.
An art school or maybe an ad on Craigslist or posting to a Facebook group about weddings in your area.
Maybe a videographer that's just starting out would have. Yep. And also, I think the real video you want, most people want, is like the 6-minute montage highlight reel, not the 30-second one. But, you know, be honest with yourselves. How much of your wedding video are you going to watch 10 years later? You're not going to watch 3 hours worth. It's a nice little 6-7 minutes to show people when they come over to remember the highlights of the day. So you can maybe negotiate a little bit if the videographer offers different packages. If you say the only thing we want is this as a product, you might be able to bring the price down. Also, I was thinking a lot of photographers and DJs work with specific videographers. Maybe they partner up with them. Maybe they have contracts with them or subcontracts. And you might be able to get a much better price if you ask the vendors you've already hired, like your photographer and DJ, if they can recommend a videographer. Because vendors, as we've mentioned before, we like to work with people that we work well with, and we're usually willing to cut a little bit from our price if it's a wedding that fits into that category. So yeah. I would check with your...
They also might know somebody in the creative industry who is starting out or have a friend or a family member or know people in school that might be willing to do it at a very low introductory rate for you. It doesn't hurt to ask your photographer because they know other creatives.
Yes, and they can make the introduction. So it's not just like you're finding this guy out of the blue. But I really feel like if you have $1,000, you can find... I mean, that... An amazing videographer is going to charge, I don't know, $8,000. But if you have $1,000 and you can find, you do a little digging, you can find someone to do this, and it's going to be better than just having friends hold up their iPhones during toasts and try to put a montage together for you later.
Yeah. Also, if you can get an iPad with a lot of space on it and a stand, put it somewhere during the ceremony and create a time-lapse video. It's super cool.
Yes, and with that same iPad, the last thing I was going to mention is the digital guest book that we're seeing at a lot of weddings, which is a way to kind of compromise on the videography. If you end up not having a videographer at all, but you want like audio and video of your guests, then this guest book where it's kind of on a table with a little sign explaining how to do it, and it's basically like people hold up the iPad to themselves and say like, Spencer, you and Catherine are the best and we're so happy for you both. And I remember that one time we were at that football game and you said, that's a girl I'm going to marry. And here we are. Congrats, bro. At least you have that afterwards as a way to look back and be like, oh, look at our friends and family and grandma and all my, you know, work friends. They love us so much. So that's better than nothing, I think, as well. And it's a fun thing to look back on in addition to the photos that you're going to have.
Absolutely. There you go, Twitter guy. Thanks for your comment. We really need to start the show. This is crazy. But we want to also remind everybody out there of a little something, right, Christy?
Yes, we have. We've been lapsed on this lately.
We've been busy with the weddings.
Yes, but we, as we've talked about before, offer consulting. So this is Skype or FaceTime with Michelle or myself. You tell us who you want to talk to. It is not as expensive as you would think. And it's one-on-one time for us to dive into your wedding planning. We can be looking at timelines, contracts, helping you solve problems with your seating chart, answering questions about how you're supposed to fire a bridesmaid. But, you know, it's more than just something you can write us in an email. And you get 2 hours of our time, uninterrupted time.
Or more. You could do more.
Or more, yes.
It's a two-hour package deal.
2 hours starting. Just email us if this is something that you think would be helpful. It's really easy to set up. And you already know us and trust us if you're listening to this podcast. So we're finding that, you know, we're getting great feedback from the couples that we've done this with. And it's really fun for us. And we love being able to help individuals on a way more personal level.
Yeah.
So hit us up if you're interested. TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast@gmail.com. And now, without further ado.
Let's start the show. Let's do it.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen. Learn.
To the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for joining us today. Michelle is mad at me because I still don't have my microphone out of a box.
I mean, come on.
And
unpack that shit.
I'm still using the little white earbuds, so
maybe you should buy a new microphone. Just buy a new one.
No, it's somewhere in there. You know how I feel about buying new tech stuff. It takes me a long time to get used to just the one thing, and then I have to use it for a very long time past what I should use it, and then eventually I'll jump on to the next thing.
I mean, the earbuds haven't been bad, I have to say. Like, maybe we just wasted money.
Yeah, maybe we should have been doing this all along.
But it does make me feel a little more official talking into this silver.
Yeah, it does. It adds something for sure to our Skype conversation too. But these white earbuds I've gotten my money's worth out of them. This pair especially. I feel like I'm constantly running into another room to grab it and go. But I think the only thing you hear is when I drink my water.
Yeah.
That you hear the ice.
Well, I always hear that anyway.
Clinking
every
time.
You're a loud drinker.
Yeah.
You're a loud drinker.
You should hear me drink that. Soup. It's downright embarrassing.
Nice. You teach your kids that? That's good for you.
Please, they
don't
eat
you're no
soup.
Longer going to be, are you ever going to be able to record in your closet, do you think, in this new house?
I don't know. It's this really weird, it's a maybe. It has like two doors, so it's like his and hers, except it's just one shaped like three sides of a square, and there's a shelf blocking it. So it's like we're sharing a closet, but there's two separate doors, but instead of a wall separating it, it's like an open shelf.
Do you have your names on the doors? Do you each only use your own door?
No, not anymore. But when we moved in, I did masking tape all over everything because this bathroom is half the size of our last bathroom. The house is the same size. The bathroom is disproportionately small. So I used masking tape and put Christie's on like three out of the four drawers, three out of the four cabinets, and the bigger side of the closet. And then I put Lance's on his. But yeah, so I don't know if I'll be able to record in there. There's not much room and it gets really hot. But I will have a better setup soon. So if you've been listening to these last couple episodes since my big move and they sound a little off, I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry.
It's your fault, Christy. Yeah. It's all your fault. I'm going to blame it on you. It's not the editing. It's not me.
So welcome, everyone. Not coming from our closets anymore, but still coming from a place of love and knowledge. This is knowledge. Just Christy and Michelle, just two wedding planners.
You know, every day I get a little bit smarter. I forget words, unfortunately. But,
that has been happening to you a lot lately.
Words.
You need to take some like ginkgo biloba or pills or something.
Ginkgo biloba. Omega.
Oh, hello.
Fine.
I said it was two wedding planners tearing it up today, but it's actually three.
No. We've got a wedding planner on Skype.
Wedding planner guest
out of the Windy friend City. Today,
which for all the vendors and frienders and guests and clients and, I don't know, brides and grooms that we've had on the podcast so far, we've never had another wedding planner on.
We have not had another wedding planner. And I'm like, because every time we think about having, the thought of having a wedding planner on, I'm like, but we are wedding planners. But you know what? We can play nice together and we have a lot of shit to talk about with other wedding planners.
The trick is like, what's the angle going to be? Because we could talk with other wedding planners all day long. We both are, I think, totally collaborative, open book types. But it's not just like us at a coffee shop or a martini bar talking wedding planner stuff. We have all of you listening. So we're trying to think of like the best way to have a wedding planner on that could offer some insight that maybe Michelle and I haven't or don't have the experience.
I don't really know how that's possible.
So that brings us around to our guest today. And I'm just going to introduce her and do a little blurb about her, and then we will welcome her on. Our guest is Tiana Van Gundy, and she's a Chicago-based wedding and event planner. Her company is Wedicity. It is a wedding and event detailing, and she has been in the events and hospitality industry for over 12 years, originally from Columbus, Ohio, where she became a certified wedding professional in 2004. We're both certified planners as well, Tiana, and we talk a lot about how that makes a difference in our opinion. Okay, Tiana moved to Chicago in 2010, where she dived further into the food, beverage, and event scene with an array of event experience in venue operations, destination management, food, beverage service, and hotel operations. Tiana has expanded into the destination wedding market, but still has a big heart for all things urban style wedding. So without further ado, I will introduce our wedding planner guest. Woo! Tiana Van Gundy, welcome. You are a Chicago-based wedding and event planner, the owner of Wedicity Wedding and Event Detailing. And for those of you listening, if you want to, always say that. It's for all of you listening. Of course you're listening. If you're listening, if you're out there, you can look up Tiana's company, see what she looks like, see what her weddings look like, so you can check it out while we're talking. The website is www.wed-icity, Wedicity. Okay, so we'll include links to that, of course, in our show notes. Originally from Columbus, Ohio, where she became a certified wedding professional in 2004, Tiana moved to Chicago in 2010, where she dived further into the food, beverage, and event scene. With an array of event experience in venue operations, destination management, food, beverage services, and hotel operations, Tiana has expanded into destination weddings, but she still has a big heart for all things urban style weddings. So we want to talk about that. We want to talk about Chicago. We want to talk about city weddings, and we're looking forward to picking your brain. So welcome to the podcast, Tiana Van Gundy.
Awesome. Thank you. Excited to be here.
Welcome to the pod.
Yes. And I told you guys I'm a pod virgin, so this is my first time being on a podcast. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, we're happy to pop that cherry for you.
I was waiting for that.
So now you're in Chicago since 2010. I love Chicago. It's one of my favorite cities in the country. I go at least once a year because my best friend lives there. But I seem to go in like the dead of winter because that's when I get the cheapest tickets.
That's the worst time to be here.
I know. It is. And everyone, I know you all think that. But
why?
Coming from a place with no snow and no cold weather really, I don't ever mind it that much. And it feels sort of like my little winter tradition. But I do love the city. And I feel like it's one of the only cities that I travel to that I could live in pretty, it wouldn't like kill me or shock my system to actually live in Chicago proper. Mm-hmm. And I also know that people who live there love it and have a ton of pride. So
yes.
Yeah, give us your best. What's so great about it?
Chicagoans are definitely very prideful. I love it. We love it. I think we actually tighten our bonds by living here through January, February, and March. That's when you visit, which I don't quite understand why. But yeah, we, you know, we trudge through the snow together, and then you get beers at a nice brewery at the end of the day. It's nice.
You tighten the bonds because everyone's miserable and hates the winter so much.
Yeah. And that's why they call it Summertime Shy, because we all love it together. So the moment the weather breaks, it can be 50 degrees. Actually, it could be about 25 degrees, and we start busting out the flip-flops and the shorts. Yeah. You know you're in Chicago at 25 degrees, and people are walking around in shorts and flip-flops. I love it.
I know. I just moved back from Boston. I was there for 7 years, and my son, who's 10 now, he was 3 when we moved there, and him and all his friends, like, they wear shorts all the friggin' time. Like, they wanted to wear shorts in the winter, and none of us mothers would, like, we're like, no, you are not wearing shorts. So now we're back in the Bay Area, and of course, I get acclimated, and he's still wearing shorts, and I'm like, but it's 50 degrees this morning. It's so cold. He's like, Mom, seriously.
He could live in Chicago.
Shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it gets colder in Chicago, I think, than Boston, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It gets into the negatives often there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Screw that, man.
On a regular basis, it's like a high of -2, a low of -10.
Ah!
It's beautiful.
Ah!
And the wind off the lake, I viscerally know what it feels like. Like, I can recall standing on an L platform in January. And then once the train leaves, if it's outside, like, exposed L platform, and the train leaves and you're standing there and the wind hits your face, which is like the only exposed part of anyone's body, is this like little face area. And it's like a million needles.
Yeah, yeah. It hurts.
And I remember seeing a mom once trying to get a stroller onto the L train, which is, you know, totally normal. That's like one of the best mass transit systems in the country. Everybody uses it. But she's struggling to get the stroller on. And I saw her, and they're just both bundled up. And I remember thinking, oh my God, that looks so hard to be doing that as like a young mom in the city. You cool city urban moms are used to it. But that was,
I know. I don't have children, but hats off to all those who do, because I see them every day on the trains and getting on the bus just like it's normal. You know, kids are having their after-school snack on the bus. So they're sitting there with goldfish. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't know how they do it.
That's city life. So fast forward us to where are you? We got like your background quickly, but where are you now in your career and your company?
So a little bit about me and Wedicity. So I started in the wedding industry, like I said, about 12 years ago out in Columbus, Ohio. And moved to Chicago in 2010. I was working for the hotel industry at the time, and ended up getting my first client here in Chicago in about 2011. And it's been, you know, a fast road ever since then. But my clients, I would say, are definitely very city focused. They are city pride, Chicago lovers, foodies, beer lovers. I think that's a big part of being in Chicago is being a foodie and, you know, being a part of the larger scene here. We're a very multicultural city and transient city, so a lot of people aren't from here as well, which is great because everybody has an awesome story and we all kind of, you know, there's a lot of camaraderie around that. And then in terms of kind of where they're located, I would say anywhere from Lincoln Park to Wicker Park to West Loop, and I know these areas are probably so foreign to all of you, except for you, since you've been here a couple of times. But
I just know those from what my best friend would tell me, to like, make sure you get off the blue train at this whatever. So I'm not like, I'm familiar with that from, but I always feel I'm hyper aware when I'm using the transit system there, because everyone else seems to know what they're doing, and I'm like, I'm gonna miss it. I'm gonna get lost. What does she mean, bus station? Ugh.
No, you know. Chicago, you know, honestly, I always say the transit system here is so much easier than New York. I don't know if you've been there, but oh my goodness, that is difficult. I've never been in New York and not gotten lost. So if anyone has mastered New York, then you're 2 steps ahead of me.
Tiana, what did you do in hotels? What were you doing in the hotel industry?
Yeah, so I worked in, well, actually 2 different roles. So when I first started out, I was a front office manager, and I hated it. Worst job ever. You're basically the front line for every complaint ever.
Yes.
So that I got out of that real fast. But that was a lot earlier in my career. And then went over to Marriott Hotels and worked on the event floors. So managed the banquet team and event services team. Basically, those teams set up and break down all the spaces.
You were on the floor. Okay.
Oh, yeah, cool. Sister.
I have hotel background as well.
More on the sales side?
Yes, sales. I did. I never did catering, but I did do group sales and convention services. Started out as an admin to the general manager and sales team. You know,
I say hotel experience is the best. You get to see everything from. It's kind of like an orchestra. Like there's so many things happening all at the same time, and they're so well, just orchestrated. I guess. I think it's the best experience you can have because there's so many pieces and parts happening at the same time. And it's a well-oiled machine.
So I was like, when we first talked on the phone, thinking about like kind of brainstorming what we could offer to our listeners, what jumped out at me is if Chicago is one of the biggest cities in the country, you know, diverse population, are the weddings that you're doing there a destination wedding, sort of, because the couple might live there, but the majority of their guests are coming in?
Yeah. So I would say the couples themselves tend to actually live in the city and live and work in the city. I do have a couple of clients that have such an affinity for Chicago that they have maybe moved outside of the city for work or for personal reasons, but then they still come back to Chicago to have their wedding because a lot of their friends are here. But yeah, I would definitely say that a lot of people consider it a destination wedding, which is funny because, you know, the whole L train experience and all the touristy stuff, we get to see that every day, but it is a destination for so many people. It's interesting because other people look at it as a destination wedding, but for us, this is every day. In terms of just kind of what that looks like, I would say our clients love to have kind of mix that old school, new school Chicago vibe together, which is really interesting. So there's a lot of the old venues in the city from, you know, the old like Blackstone Hotel and lots of old hotels with a lot of history behind them. And then, but there's a whole new vibe coming in as well with like these warehouse districts that have completely overturned. And they're kind of more of a grungy, new school Chicago vibe. So we have two competing vibes in the city, but there's so many venues here. It's insane.
That's fun.
I don't know what your, venue capacity is out there in your areas, but just literally from where I'm sitting at right now in the West Loop, I could walk to 30 different venues.
Yeah, wow.
It's insane.
So who are your clients in general?
Say that again.
Who, like, what's the demographic of the clients that you're getting?
Yeah, are they, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, like, young, college educated, you know, live in the city.
Yeah, I would say most of my particular clients are, I would say, in their late 20s. I don't think a lot of people here in the city get married as young as they do. And where, like, when I started out in Ohio, a lot of people got married right out of college, so 21, 22, 23. A lot of my clients tend to be a little bit older, so I'd say between 28 and 34. That's kind of the range, but I think it's normal here in the city for people to get married, you know, a little bit older. The lifestyle of being a Chicagoan and also work kind of takes precedence around here. So I think that's just a different city vibe, and I bet New York probably has a very similar aesthetic.
I think the Bay Area does too.
Yeah.
My clients out there and Michelle's clients now, we're a little older and more self-sufficient in their careers, maybe paying for the whole thing themselves, as opposed to in the South, more what I saw since moving to Texas was that the parents were very involved for the most part.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that. We don't have a lot of parent involvement. Obviously, to an extent, there still is that family, you know, that family element, but most couples are paying for it themselves, and you know, some financial, you know, family involvement here and there might pay for a rehearsal dinner or the dress, but for the most part, it is, you know, they're taking the chunk of change there and spending it themselves.
What is the range of budgets you're working with on average, do you think, for what overall wedding
budget? So I always tell people that you can really have a wedding on any budget, and I'm sure you guys have said the same thing. But here it does tend to be a little bit higher. So I'd say 50 to 100,000. So at the average, I'd say about 75. A lot of what eats that up is taxes in the city. That's kind of a misnomer here is, you know, you look at all the prices online and you might get a bunch of information back, but then you're spending about 33% of your regular budget just on taxes and service fees.
But that's not just in Chicago. Is there tax higher in Chicago or something?
Yeah, it's 11.5%.
Ah!
I know.
Why?
Why? She didn't write the tax code?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know.
Is that like some well-known Chicago thing that I was unaware of?
Oh, I didn't. I totally didn't know that either. Because then on top of that, for catering or hotels, you would also add
18%.
Or service charges and everything like that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot more expensive to get married here than it is in a lot of other cities. But you get so much more out of it, I think. I mean, you have the Chicago experience of having great food, a fantastic skyline, amazing views, and kind of everything else that makes Chicago us. I would think that's one of the biggest like misnomers is people don't really, or they don't think about the taxes here in the city and how much it affects their overall budget. I just had that conversation yesterday. It's really fun.
I bet you have it a lot. It feels like you're on repeat sometimes. With the weather being that a couple months out of the year, you guys don't even want to deal with anything. So I assume there's like a high season, just like there is almost anywhere. But are there like a couple months where you're not doing weddings, or can couples get a big discount for doing something on like a Friday in February?
So I don't know why they would want to get married on a Friday in February in
to
Chicago,
save money.
But. You know, God bless them. but if they want to, absolutely, yeah. There's a lot of like off-season discounts from January, February, and March in the city. But it's really hard to travel in. If you have a lot of out-of-town guests, I don't suggest it just because flights are constantly getting canceled. There's, you know, 4 feet of snow outside. Winds are just blowing people across the street. And I say that jokingly, but actually unjokingly, it's pretty true. So I just don't recommend it. But yeah, you can definitely get a big discount. If you're local and everyone's local, go for it. But if not, I don't recommend it.
So what's your peak wedding season? Like, what's the most popular month to get married in Chicago?
Yeah, so I think it's definitely transitioning out of summer into fall. Have you guys seen that too?
Yeah.
I think here because summertime is just Chicago becomes a different city in the summer. It's that's why we call it summertime shy, because there's festivals, there's concerts, everybody is literally outside. So every restaurant has a garage door, every restaurant has windows open or doors open, and that's the lifestyle we live. So to take away from that's kind of hard. So a lot of people like to get married in the fall when the, you know, trees are green and people are a little more willing to travel, and everyone, you know, in the summer they just want to stay here and stay local. I'd say fall's a really big season for us. I would say the biggest weekend for me is Labor Day weekend, because people can make a long weekend out of it. They're already taking a day off of work. They can come up to Chicago and spend an extra couple of days without, you know, worrying about it from the boss.
I was wondering about, well, I guess it sort of ties into weather with if the weather is crazy and you have an event, how do you deal with like debilitating? I mean, people, I don't know. I'm sure you guys have snow plows and the whole everything. People still drive and go to work and live, but it's a question and a segue that gets into transportation situations within a city. If you're thinking that our listeners are from all over the world right now, but let's say a quarter of them are planning city weddings at some point, What should they be keeping in mind, and what do you have to deal with as a planner in Chicago with big venues but no parking?
Parking's always one of those things that's going to be a nightmare challenge for us. For example, I work out of the West Loop area, which is a very kind of trendy area, CTA, which is our public transportation system, is really heavily available. It's great. However, parking is a complete nightmare. And that's pretty similar all across the board in the city, to be honest. I do suggest that people just, they they don't worry about, you know, valeting or anything like that. There, you can obviously pay for a valet company to be on site. Those tend to be pretty costly and not necessarily worth it. Uber and Lyft obviously have been a huge game changer in the market in the last couple of years because people, you can actually get a Uber or Lyft code for your guests and then kind of pay for it, which is pretty interesting. But outside of that, I usually just suggest doing something like local to your hotel. There's so many hotels in the city that are right near all these venues that you can usually get something within walking distance, which is pretty nice. There's not necessarily always a need to, you know, bus people from one part of the city to the other. But if you have your heart set on a venue that's, you know, across the city and the best room rate you can get is in another part of the city, absolutely. You basically have to provide transportation. But with that said, there's so many things that are constantly going on in the city to kind of take note of. So from about August to the first week of December is convention season. And here our convention center is just on the south side of the city, which is basically still inside the loop area. And that heavily affects traffic, heavily affects what's going on in kind of our routes to and from home. So with that, I always tell people to check the convention calendar if they haven't already. You can go to the CVB website and just check that out and see what's going on. Usually anything over like 40,000 people will really affect traffic. Anything under like 10,000 people, 15,000 people, that's kind of normal for Chicago. So that's normal transient traffic. But anything about like 30 and 40 and up really starts to heavily impact what's going on in terms from like, you know, getting people from one place to the next.
Well, that applies to if you have a church ceremony somewhere and then the reception.
Right.
Same thing. Point A to point B could be all messed up or roads closed off or convention traffic clogging all up. So is this a reason to hire a planner in Chicago? I mean, if I were getting married, I'd be like, I can't even do all this.
Yeah, actually, typically what I do is the day of a wedding, I drive the route the bus is going to take just so that I know if there's any like sporadic construction that have come up in the last 24 hours.
That's part because of there's constant.
We have a saying in the city that, I'm sorry.
That's part of your timeline is to drive the route?
I do it. I do it before my day technically starts. I'm so nice.
That's intense. I mean,
But I have to because there's two seasons in the city. It's construction season and winter. That's the kind of our saying around here.
Yeah.
It's terrible. So, so we basically just drive the route before the day starts, you know, make sure that the bus company knows that we've got, you know, a couple streets closed down or there's a pop-up festival somewhere, which actually does happen. And then we have to reroute guests one way or the other. So that happens fairly often, at least in the summer months. Wow. I would say festival season ends about the end of August. So that kind of wraps up about then.
So on your end, if your clients are asking you, should we get buses, shuttles, or like something cool, like a cable car, or should we just get the Uber code? How do you advise them and what variables need to be taken into consideration? And then also tell us, if you can, a little bit about the whole Uber and Lyft with the code that you can buy and how that works.
Yeah, so when they are going from ceremony to reception in two different locations and it's far enough that, you know, we kind of need to bus people, I definitely recommend, you know, hiring a transportation company to provide that need, because it's hard to bus or get 40 to 80 different cars simultaneously, you know, in an Uber and a Lyft from one location to another. So when you're going from venue to venue, I never suggest doing car sharing. I think that would be silly to think that amount of cars would be available at any given time. But if everyone's just going to a venue for the start of a function and they're going to be there all night, yeah, give them a code that they can get from the hotel or the reception and they're kind of on their own to get there. But on the Uber and Lyft side, yeah, you can basically get a code. There's another company that does this as well, and I can't remember recalling the name of it. But you basically can pre-purchase a code where, you know, it can say, you know, Johnson Wedding, and they put that in, and at the end it gets billed back to the client, which is nice. It's a nice way to say, hey, I'm taking care of your bill tonight for you to get to and from the wedding without paying for additional transportation. I don't know if that's, I wouldn't necessarily suggest that all the time. Again, I think that depending on, you know, a lot of variables, where the hotel is, where the reception, or sorry, where the hotel ceremony venue and reception venue are, all kind of depend on all of those deciding factors. But at the end of the day, I think Lyft and Uber have really changed the game, like in the transportation market, quite a bit, at least for the city. I'm not sure about in some of the other areas, but in the city, it's been a game changer. Taxis hated.
And yeah, but would you say generally like positive for your industry, our industry?
I would say the transportation companies hate it, but just because it's provided another avenue for wedding guests. However, I think that, you know, when you have a small amount of people that need transportation to and from, it's a good solution. When you have, you know, 100 plus people, I don't think it's, it's not reasonable. But when you're just trying to get a small amount of people to and from one location, I think it's definitely a good option.
Especially if it's after the event, when there's like not the time constraint of like, you have 30 minutes to get yourself from here to here. It's just like, if you want to walk to a bar, great. If you don't, have an Uber pick you up and take you back to your hotel.
Here's a code, right?
Yeah. And that is one less thing. I mean, I, as a wedding planner, one of my least favorite parts of the job in the planning process and on the day of is dealing with transportation. I think it has to do with control, because we can't control so much of it. And you're just on the phone with some driver who's, you know, outside of his own power and control, stuck in traffic somewhere or something, or, you know, I don't know, 12 people said they were going to take the shuttle. So he's waiting for 12 people at the hotel, and only two people are on the shuttle, but it's time to go. Do you wait for the other 10? Who's going to call Aunt Mary and make sure she's still taking the shuttle? All along, Aunt Mary's already there. She's sitting down. She decided to take a cab. Yeah, she took an Uber.
She took an Uber.
So it's frustrating. So I always like it when clients say, we're not going to do transportation because we have this other solution. But sometimes I think you're right that it's just the nature of the, you just have to have, you have to, there's no way around it.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually had a client rent a lot, because there's a few empty lots where valet companies actually, you know, pay for those lots. So they actually went to the lot specifically and bought the lot out for the evening so their guests could park there. So they kind of superseded the valet service. That's not common. Not all lots will allow that. They usually have bigger contracts with valet companies, so it's not usually allowed, but it worked for this client. So that was
Were most of the guests driving themselves to that wedding?
In this one in particular, yes, because there's a lot of older guests.
Ah.
And they weren't going to be drinking and that sort of thing.
About how many weddings do you do a year on average?
So this year will be 23.
And are you doing them all you, or do you have other wedding planners that work for you?
So right now it is myself full-time. I've got an assistant who works part-time. She's amazing. She's like in my head. I love her. And then she takes on some events when I'm booked. And then I have a group of about four to five people who are kind of on a rotating list who just help on site with production.
And do you offer all levels of service, or only planning, or do you do month of? Or?
I do all three. I have a love-hate relationship with probably all three packages. My day of service is a lot more comprehensive, but I do it more for myself. So day of, for a lot of people, you know, I always say you can't just show up with clipboard and run someone's day. That's not possible. So my day of service actually starts 90 days prior, which is crazy.
Oh, you do a 90-day. Okay.
Yeah. And again, I think I do it more for myself so I can get organized.
And do you have any like kind of cool tips or tricks for anyone out there overall with regard to planning or the logistics on the wedding day itself, or any kind of fun things you've seen lately that you've been doing, or, you know, money saving tips, anything that you can, you know, throw out some knowledge?
I actually just wrote a blog post on Chicago like wedding welcome bags, because I get that question a lot. People want to showcase all the stuff that Chicago is. So everything from, you know, Garrett's popcorn, which, are you guys familiar with that?
Yeah, actually that's what we were talking about with Amanda. Remember that, Michelle, that they wanted to serve the special Chicago popcorn at their wedding, and they were going to bring little baggies, but like the smell and the logo are like, everyone knows it's ubiquitous with the city of Chicago.
The smell will get you.
Yeah.
So those make really good favors, but that's a pretty popular one. But I just did a whole blog post on just a list of like Chicago wedding welcome bag ideas.
Oh, cool.
Franco Mints, Tootsie Rolls.
Hot dogs.
Like a couple soda pop. Yeah, hot dogs. You know, just put a hot dog in a welcome bag.
And these people put your clients want them at the hotels or?
Yeah.
Okay.
So typically it's like a backdrop for a welcome bag. Some other really cool things. There's so many really cool spaces to go take photos in and around the city. So Chicago has a really big street art scene. So one of my favorite weddings, they went around and basically tried to hit up all the major street art murals around the city. And they went kind of mural to mural, and they spent a good 3 hours out on taking wedding party photos, and went mural to mural all around kind of the West Loop area and a little bit beyond to get that street art, which is very Chicago.
This is all before the ceremony, so they had to be ready early, I'm assuming.
Yeah. You need a little bit more time for wedding party photos here just because, again, transportation is always up in the air. You never know if you're going to hit a belt of traffic. Also, there's so many weddings here every weekend. If you go to any of the major spots, like Olive Park or by the Planetarium, there's going to be about 12 other wedding parties that are taking pictures. So if you want that beautiful skyline backdrop, you got to get there and kind of wait in line.
Oh, that's so interesting.
I would say another big trend that I saw was doing a day after celebration with a Cubs, Bears, Bulls, Sox, Hawks game. Lots of animals. And those teams basically will host a wedding party. They'll put your name up on the screen. You can pay, that's a fee, but you can pay for, you know, them to say congratulations, Bill and Susan. And that's pretty fun. But a lot of those do that instead in lieu of like a post-wedding brunch. They might just go straight to like a 1 o'clock game and get beers and like food at the game.
So people would get like 30 or 40 bleacher seats or something in a row, pay for them ahead of time, and go with their core people or VIP family members or whatever to a game the day after the wedding as part of the like wedding weekend.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Again, just making a weekend out of it because Chicago is a destination for so many people. It's nice to, you know, let them partake in all the Chicago activities. The night before, I've seen a lot of kind of coordinated events, so going on a architectural tour down the river to their Segway tours that you can take around the city, which are pretty fun. A lot of those kind of one-off events to do the night before, even the day before, if people are coming in pretty early to kind of take advantage of being in the city. I've seen that quite a bit as well. We have a big speakeasy kind of like sleek bar scene as well. So usually the night before, after like a traditional welcome dinner, they might go to a speakeasy and hang out and have like really cool cocktails.
Could be like semi-private, not necessarily like a back room or something, but just if you have a big group of people and you sort of overtake a bar, then it's kind of your bar.
Yeah.
You know, here we've been seeing a lot lately, like no wedding parties, you know, no bridesmaids, no groomsmen. Family or friends officiating the wedding. Are you seeing that there too, Tiana?
Absolutely. We have a big LGBTQ community here too as well. And I would say between them and just the trend overall has been away from the church and synagogue scene. So a lot of friends, mm-hmm. family members, I've even had a boss officiate. So.
And are you having a large guest list or small or all over the gamut?
I think it does run the gamut, but I'd say my average is about 150-ish. This year, I've seen a lot of smaller weddings and also people planning in a very short time frame. So I've had multiple weddings in 2018 that booked this year and had their wedding this year and have already, you know, they're already married.
I love that.
It's crazy.
I love that.
3 months, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
I was wondering, with all the ways that you can, like, take advantage of living in a city and the photos and the, like, the pre-wedding events and the post-wedding events all speaking to, like, we love our city and we want to show it off and drink the beer and, you know, knock on the secret door for the speakeasy and take pictures in front of the big silver bean and all that fun stuff.
Yes.
Are there ways that couples are also bringing Chicago pride or city pride into the wedding, like in the room, and not just favors or things that they're handing out, but, like, I don't know, iconic imagery that you're kind of incorporating in with, like, the graphic elements or table numbers or names, things like that?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, kind of a classic one that I've seen quite a bit is the table numbers being renamed as local neighborhoods, because we're similar to New York in that we have, like, we don't have boroughs, but we have a lot of neighborhoods. So, you know, West Loop, South Loop, Wicker Park, Bucktown, Lincoln Park, all of that. So I see that quite a bit in, like, the naming of the table numbers. But also I would say in, like, the stationery and the graphics on that end. Kind of that Art Deco World's Trade Fair era has been a big shift. I would say in the last year or two, I've seen quite a bit of invitations, menu cards, escort cards, you name it, the works, all kind of going in that Art Deco World's Trade Fair era and kind of in that style, kind of to show off that old school Chicago vibe, which is really fun. And that kind of speaks back to kind of the speakeasy vibe as well.
Yeah, Prohibition mm-hmm. and Gatsby and feathers and gold. And yeah, I love all that stuff.
Yeah. And there's so many venues here that can play that up as well. There's, you know, if you want something new and flashy and floor to ceiling windows, there's that too. But if you want that old Chicago vibe, there's so many options that are have so much history behind them as well.
I want to go to Chicago now.
I was just going to say that.
I went there once many, many years ago. I think we might need to plan a Chicago thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
come on out. It's so it's much fun. Love to.
But not in the winter. I'm not going in the winter, Christy. Sorry.
What's that?
Fine. But
I said I'm not going in the winter. I won't do it. I won't.
Oh, don't. I don't tell anyone to visit in the winter. I try to leave.
I know everyone there hates it, but you're right, though, when you mention that it's like a foodie city, and that's what everyone mentions about Chicago. And I think there's, like, more Top Chef winners. Uh-huh. I don't know. We could look it up. Oh, but there's something like a lot of them are there and have their own restaurants there or their flagships there or come from there or trained there. So when I go, I really do. I mean, we plan out our weekends by, like, brunch, cocktails, dinner, we, you know, eat our way through or see some fun shows, go to the new neighborhood bar. But somehow we always end up at, like, a dive on a corner, you know, that smells the same as the last dive on the corner. And it feels like home no matter where you are.
I love it.
But I do love Chicago. I think in some ways for me, it feels like in my head without any, like, real experience to back this up, it's like a easier New York City. Mm. Like less
you spoke my mind,
harsh,
yeah.
Harsh, I guess. More accessible, definitely. And the transportation system helps with that. But
oh, it helps a lot. I think it's a very easy city to get around. It's easy to understand. The lake is always east, so you can't get too lost. But I always say there's something to do here for everyone. So everybody should like good food because you're putting it in your stomach. So everyone should be a foodie. But outside of that, there's literally something for everyone, whether you like architecture, you like art, you like the outdoors. I mean, there literally is something for whatever you like.
So, dear listeners, hit us up if you're having a Chicago wedding. We would love to see wedding party pictures. Actually, thought that was so interesting what you said about there being like a line of wedding parties at these locations around the city on the weekends. Send us or tag us on some of your awesome photos if you've taken, even like engagement photos if you've taken those around, or keep us posted on planning your weddings if you're doing it in Chicago. And if you want to inquire to see if Tiana is available to plan your wedding, we'll include all those links and social media links on our show notes. But also if you have any questions that are Chicago or, you know, city wedding based that you want to shoot us on email, and we need to forward them to Tiana, we will, and then we'll get back to you that way, either on an episode or an email. So I think we can wrap it up, but we will post all your stuff so people can follow you and follow us. And thank you so much for reaching out and being on the podcast.
Yeah, it was nice to invite another planner into our onto the pod. Thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you for allowing me on the pod.
You guys, please leave us ratings and reviews on iTunes. We love that. We will read them. We love you for that. Tell your friends about the podcast and keep listening. Hashtag plan that wedding if you're posting anything, or tag the Big Wedding Planning Podcast on Instagram. Follow us there. And you can follow Michelle and I as well on our other our personal event planning Instagram pages. You can follow Tiana and Wedicity on Instagram as well. Our website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com, and our email address is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. And we're on Twitter.
It's wedding season. Yeah, give her a break.
We're on Twitter, TVWP Podcast, Patreon.
We're helping you out. We got to do more with the show. Patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. And give us a call. Call us. 415-723-1625. You could be on the next Yawa episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast if you call us and record a message with your question. Or you could just tell us how much you love us. That would be nice, too. It's helpful on a rainy day. You know, when you need a little extra something. All right, Tiana, thank you again for being with us and talking to all of our beautiful, lovely listeners. I hope you enjoy the rest of your wedding season, too.
Awesome. Thank you. You ladies as well.
Thank you. Christy, talk to you soon. Love you, show.
Bye.